If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Hey there, and welcome to the Matrix Success Network podcast. Today we've got an amazing podcast with Brian Del Maso, the number one coach in the world. He's going to be talking about the secret to getting what you want. What I've done is, because there's so much information in this particular episode, is I've made a Google document and I've summarized the key information about repetition, desire, vibration, ownership and creation, some really great tools and techniques and strategies, including a life script. So what I've done is I've put this into a Google document. I've got a short link, a bit.ly, and I'm going to add that into the show notes for this episode. You can click it, you can open it, there's no charge whatsoever, and you can read that information just so you can follow up, because as we listen to this great content, there's going to be things that we miss. So I've added this in for you. There's also a link to join the Matrix Mindset Academy. So jump into it, have a look at the content. Don't leave your learning for just listening. You know, jump in there, read it, engage with people, and really move yourself forward to where you want to be. Let's catch up with Brian.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Matrix Success Network. This is Craig, the VP of International, and I'm here with the number one coach in the world, Brian Del Maso. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Craig. How you doing, bud? It's actually late afternoon here, but I know in Jakarta, Indonesia, it's what, 5 a.m.?
Yeah, it's 4 a.m.
4 a.m., nice.
I love it. On the dot. Stinking hot, but wonderful. Hey, I understand that you're up there in Toronto and you're getting ready for a week training with your mentor. Tell us about that. Tell us about what you're going to be doing this week.
Sure. Yeah, I'm very excited. We about four times a year, we come for a week. We train live with Bob Proctor, with some other consultants from around the world. And tomorrow we have our inner circle training, which is just a few of us with Bob. Just really digging deep into the psychology and the mindset behind wealth building, human performance, the mind-body connection, all the stuff that we study with. And it's important because even though I coach people, obviously I get coached. I have coaches, Bob Proctor, Damon John, some other people. And we're always raising our level of awareness through investing in ourselves, like we encourage other people to do. So yeah, we're up here learning for a week. So it should be good.
Yeah, that sounds powerful. The regularity of being in contact with people who are working at a level that you want to get to, or add, you know, enhance certain aspects of what you're doing, the way you're thinking, the way you're behaving, must be really, really powerful. So how important do you think the repetition, the regularity is to make it successful?
Right? I mean, when we understand how the human mind-body connection works, how do we rewire the operating system? How do we rewire that subconscious paradigm, that operating system? It's only through the spaced repetition of content. So a lot of times when we're up here training with Bob, we'll be going over the same stuff, except Bob is 3 months more wiser. Like, he's going to be 85 years old next month. And every time you see him, he's always studying himself too. So he gets a little bit more wise and the content gets a little richer. It clicks a little bit more. When we're talking about rewiring the subconscious mind, it takes that spaced repetition of content. So we teach this stuff every day. We live and breathe it, and we study probably more than a lot of people, which is why I think it's why we're having the success we have, you know?
And so you're saying before we started that you're focusing on strategies, focusing on behavior, really focusing on your own business as well and your personal development. So what are some of the things that you focus on with behavior with your mentor?
I think the biggest thing that we focus on, or the best part about having a mentor, is a mentor, no matter what your level of awareness is, we all have blind spots. Even Bob has blind spots, and he has people that mentor him. I've even pointed out a few blind spots when I was masterminding with Bob at his house. So everybody has blind spots. It doesn't matter how well versed you are or how much you study. It's always good to have accountability and to have somebody else that's kind of looking at you from the outside in, because we can't really see our own blind spots, not unless you're just really, really at a high level of awareness and you take the time to meditate and kind of get outside yourself. So I think that's really the importance of continuing to get that mentorship from somebody. Now, the key is somebody that has demonstrated by their results that they know what they're talking about. That's the key. Everybody's got an opinion, right? Your you know, neighbor Joe the plumber, he's got an opinion. He'd be glad to give it to you, financial opinions and life advice. But you got to look at people's results. And I often tell people in business, I only take business advice from self-made multi-hundred millionaires and billionaires. I don't take advice from even low-level millionaires. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but those aren't the results that I'm trying to get. I always encourage people, you know, before you take relationship advice, look at the relationship of the person giving it, health advice, all that stuff, you know. And I think that's what's really unique about training with Bob is he has demonstrated by his results that he understands this material at a very high level.
Mm. People often blame their circumstances or environment for why things go wrong. And you're very, very quick to target that, hit that, focus on that. So tell us a bit more why people do that and how they can turn that around to gain more success.
Ooh, that's a deep one. Now we're gonna piss some people off here probably. A lot of people love to blame their environment because it's easy. It's easier than looking in the mirror. And it's very easy to buy the excuses, oh, I have kids. You know, I was born, in a depressed neighborhood or a depressed area. I had this disadvantage, that disadvantage. People even, I know this is a controversial subject, but anyone who uses that as an excuse, I can show you somebody who didn't. In other words, I forget the gentleman's name, but he was born a quadriplegic. He was born with no arms, no legs. And I wish I could remember who it was. He wrote a book. He climbed. What is the mountain there? He climbed the K2 or the real big one there. But he basically learned to exist and operate in his life with no arms and no legs. And he, he's an inspirational speaker and he's climbed full, mountains and all that stuff. So I think a lot of people tend to blame their environment because it's easier than looking in the mirror and understanding that it's a series of micro decisions if you want to get ahead. You look at people like Oprah Winfrey. You know, she had a horrific background in childhood. And she was, she was poor and all that. And now, she's a billionaire now. So for anyone that has an excuse of any kind, we can always show you somebody who used that as a motivation.
Would you be thinking of the Australian Nick Vujicic?
No. I wish if you said it, he's an American dude. But he's not the only one. I mean, there's hundreds, right? I mean, Helen Keller, throughout history. At any point in history, you can find people born blind, composers, Beethoven was deaf, right? I mean, so there's always things that people could cop out and blame. And it's the human nature is to do that. It's to say, well, I'll start that business when my kids get out of school. I'm too busy, but Warren Buffett had kids, right? So it's very easy to use that. It's human. It's actually human nature. We're programmed to do that as opposed to do the hard thing, which is look in the mirror, make a decision and do it anyway.
Our emotions get in the way, don't they? Our emotions about how we think about our environment, our upbringing, the circumstances, the past failures or past successes, our hopes and dreams for the future. Emotions are really powerful. So how do we take those emotions and channel them, direct them, focus them more successfully?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a two-part. There's no quick fix for that one. I think part of it is the number one, you got to have a desire to change. I haven't found a way to teach desire yet. We can teach this material. We can teach the sciences and the physics behind how wealthy people think and act and operate. You can apply that towards physical fitness, relationships, finances. But I don't know how to teach desire. The universe has a way of building desire, though. What I mean by that is everything can be going just fine. And if you're not really reaching for something, going for something, the next thing you know, your whole world turns upside down and you're in a divorce or a foreclosure or something like that. So the universe does have a way of kind of kicking us in the butt if we're not moving. But people have to build their own desire. Once you have desire, it just becomes basically studying material, raising your level of awareness and how the mind-body connection works between the conscious and the subconscious mind. You start to understand that we, human beings, are channels for creation. We are creative beings. We're designed that way. It's only our limiting beliefs that would stop us from exercising our God-given talents is really what it is. And our limiting beliefs, as you know, come from our paradigms from when we were born, the environment we were in, what your parents were doing, your friends, people you grew up with, schooling, all those limiting beliefs about what can and cannot be done get programmed in at an early age. So really it just takes desire and then following a mentor in a system that's been proven. It's really that simple. Desire plus a system plus a mentor.
Mm. You often talk about the two parts of the mind that really matter for our results. So tell us a bit more about that.
Sure. I mean, there's many parts to the mind. I'm sure we're going to get some blowback here from psychologists, but largely speaking, there's two parts that we talk about, which is the conscious and the subconscious mind, right? And the subconscious mind is more of the data storage center. I like to refer to that as an operating system in a computer. Your subconscious mind is very much like an operating system. All it is a data storage center. It stores programs like walking, eating, speaking, watching TV or building wealth. Those are all stored programs. And then you have the conscious mind, which is the emotional mind, which is what we are cognizant of. That's what you and I are doing right now. Now, neither you or I is thinking right now. Mental activity does not constitute thinking. It's the only time we're really accessing and thinking and tapping into universal intelligence is when we're trying to solve a problem we don't know the answer to. Or if we're writing is something you can't write without thinking. That triggers the thinking mechanism. But right now, I'm just repeating programs from my subconscious mind on information I already know about. I'm not learning here. And the same with you. Whether you realize it or not, you're not really thinking right now, unless you and I say something like, Craig, what are five ways that we could grow our business together? Boom. Then you switch to the frequency of thinking. Five ways we haven't thought of yet. Then you switch to the frequency. You start to access, universal intelligence, whatever you believe in. So the conscious mind is the part of the mind that has desire. It's the tip of the sword towards learning. Let's say you want to learn a new skill like the piano. You would consciously say, I want to learn the piano. And then you would sit down to it. That's a conscious act. But as soon as you start to play the piano and get guidance from your instructor, your subconscious mind starts storing the programs, the part that's working. If you hit a sour note, it's like, well, that's not it. But if you hear the melody, if you're on the right vibration and it sounds right and you're doing the right things, it's a trial and error process. And the subconscious mind is always storing what's working, what's not. Does that make sense?
Mm. You're talking about frequency and vibration. And how do we change that vibration?
Well, there's many ways, actually. I mean, human beings, we're always in a state of vibration, just like every single thing in the universe, whether it's a rock, this desk, ourselves, or even our thoughts. Everything's at a different state of vibration. So the way that a human being would change the vibration could be several things. You always hear about runner's high, jogging, right? Physical activity raises your vibration. I think it's fairly impossible not to. So if somebody was ever in a depressed state, if you go for a run, if you can overpower that and understand you go running, it'll put you in a high vibration. Another way to do it is by giving gratitude. It's impossible to sort of meditate and give gratitude, sincere emotional gratitude, and be in a depressed state or a low vibration. Another way is to take massive action. If you have a business, I always like to use network marketing because people procrastinate because they're in a low vibration. And one way around it is just take massive action. Just reach out to 50 people. Another way to do it, Craig, is to help somebody. Take the focus off yourself. No matter who you are, for the most part, there's somebody that you know in your world that has it worse off than you do that you could be helping. The only time we can feel sad or depressed or feeling is a vibration in a low vibration is more thinking about ourselves, sitting around in a pity party or something. If you take that off of yourself and think about somebody you can help, that's another way to raise your vibration.
Mm. Often when we think about those circumstances that might have made us sad or angry or feel like wanting revenge for someone, there's all those emotions that are tied to that. And we can wake up in the morning and then think about that thought and feel that emotion and suddenly we're there again. So how do we switch that? How do we train that? How do we move that?
Sure. I mean, there's many ways to do that, and I can let you know the way I do it. So the first thing I do when I get up at 4 a.m., is number one, my alarm clock is set across the room, so I have to get up, leave the bed, and go, right? So I'm up. Yeah. I'm not going to just hit snooze and let my paradigm take over. I can promise you I don't want to get up at 4 a.m. But I know that I in order to do what I want to do in life, that's necessary right now. So the first thing I do is that, and then actually I got them right here. Right next to my bed is my little earbuds, right? These little guys. So now it's habit now. They're right next to my alarm. I put those in, and at 4 a.m. I'm playing my life script, which is just me talking to myself about myself in the future, having already succeeded at all the things that I want to do, including philanthropy, living in a perfectly healthy body, connecting with God, relationships, my wife, everything that we're talking about. So for me, that's what I do. You know, it's such a habit. So I don't have time to think about what's not working.
Mm.
I kind of override my own, I guess, programming, or I override the possibility of negativity creeping in by playing that life script over and over and over and over. Right? As you know, I play that for a couple hours in the morning while I'm making my coffee and going to the gym, and I'm cycling on the cycle, still listening to that. So that's how I do it. Some people get up early and they go for a run. Like you said, when you go for a run, it's a meditative, even though you're physically moving. A lot of people really, they get answers to a lot of questions and a lot of problems while they're running. So those are a few ways that I know. And most people that you know of that are succeeded high level, people like Tony Robbins, Bob Proctor, Grant Cardone, they get up early, they get up with intention, and they get up with a routine before the chaos of the day slams them in the face. So they wake up with intention. And we call that starting your day with intention and a high vibration.
Mm. So that life script sounds pretty powerful. Then tell us some of the things that are in there, some of the points that you cover for yourself.
Yeah, so for me, and there's no right or wrong to this, but I kind of took what Bob has done and one of my other colleagues, Peggy McCall. She's the one that really turned me on to the spoken version of it, actually speaking into a recorder in a low meditative state. And so for me, I spend the first 5 minutes giving gratitude. I mean, we're living in America. We got hot running water. I have a roof over my head. Thank God for my wife, my daughter, my friends, my family. All those things that we take for granted, you know, living in a perfectly healthy body. And then I shift to my body and to spirit. And then I shift to the relationship. So I'm just speaking about those things in a very positive. I'm just so happy and grateful now that, as if it already happened. And then I go into my, what I call my list of demands, my expectations. See, I don't hope for my businesses to work. I know they're going to work. It's an expectation. Everything is created first in spirit energy before it's in the physical plane. And I've talked about this before, too. You have to think about a house before you can ever build a house. So everything that we know in this universe exists in spirit energy, or call it a universal energy, before it can exist in the physical plane. So the fact that I'm talking about my software company, you know, selling for $21 billion in the year 2025 to Amazon Web Services, that already exists, right, in my mindset. And it causes my body, I've said that so many times now, it causes my body to take action. And as you know, we're right in the middle of a money raise with the software company, and that's going forward. And, you know, we've been rocking and rolling with that thing. So, and then after that, I go into what I call my composite mindset. And again, there's no right or wrong to this. But for me, at the end of my life script, I say, I am Bob Proctor. You know, I am Grant Cardone. Now, I don't want to be those people. There's certain characteristics that I want to absorb. And you can do this with people that survive or passed away. What are the characteristics of sort of your composite personality for yourself? And that's just what I do.
Mm, that's powerful. And when you're working with other people and you're talking about a change and a turnaround, do you get them to do this life script for themselves as well?
Yeah, without a question. Every one of our students has to do that. And it may sound a little silly and weird and not normal, and it's not. But if you look at the statistics, 97% of people are going in the wrong direction. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean if you look at their results, their bank accounts, their results, their physical fitness, people get to retirement age, they can't retire. So they're going through the school systems, you know, grade school, high school, college. But their results are reflecting poorly. So just by that logic, that would state that what we got to do in order to perform like the fraction of the 1% is do what the fraction of the 1% do. And they're all doing this stuff, right? The people that operate at those levels, they're all doing life scripts, meditating, goal cards, vision boards. They do all kinds of things to condition the mind, because the mind is the tip of the sword towards creation. So it could seem silly and weird and unorthodox, because it's not what the masses do. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, you know, I'm a pragmatic person, and I like to have action-oriented goals and strategies and think about, okay, what do I do now, as well as working on my mindset. And so I picked that up a little while ago about the life script. And while I haven't done a fully blown one, I started writing out as if I'm so grateful and thankful that I get to do these things. And so I was writing about coming home in New Zealand to our dream home that Lima and I have been talking about, my wife and I, and what it looks like and what it feels like and who's there with us and what we're doing and how we're experiencing it and how other people are enjoying it as well. And, you know, there's just a feeling of putting myself into this position. I already have it, as you say. I've already got it. I'm already there. I'm already experiencing it. Now I just need to move forward to experience that in the real world, you know, in the physical world. So I love that concept because I get to imagine it in detail and I can actually taste it. I can taste the sausage sizzle that we're doing on the barbecue while looking at the ocean. It's really powerful because as my emotions and my mind thinks about it, I taste it and I feel it and I can even smell the salt air of the sea as the waves are crashing. It's a beautiful thing because it's very motivational. And it actually helps with the stressful times as well because it takes my mind and takes my heart off the difficulty, the challenge, you know, the things that always come up because day-to-day life is never perfect every single day, right? You're talking about having some challenges last week. You're talking about it in the group in the Matrix Mindset Academy about some challenges that were coming up and how you just had to change and move forward. So why don't you share a little bit about that because those are some big things.
Sure. I want to comment on one thing you said, which is actually brilliant. So when you're spending all that time visualizing, tasting, smelling, feeling, touching, like in the mind, when you're doing that, the one thing you can't be doing is thinking about fear, lack, doubt, worry, debt, poverty, right? When we spend this amount of time focusing on what we want and visualizing, it's that much more time that you're not spending focusing on debt or whatever some of the problems might be in your life. So it's not rocket science. You're just spending more time visualizing what you want instead of letting the default setting, which is thinking about what's not working in your life. There's a couple of books I want to recommend because a lot of people might think this is kind of ethereal, but it's actually physics and science. When you understand energy flow and what's going on with the transmutation of energy, you know, we talk about manifesting. People say, well, I'm getting pretty good at manifesting, or I manifested something the other day. And they don't realize from the second you're born and even before that, you can't not manifest. Human beings are conduits for creation and energy flow. From the second we're born, we're manifesting our body into the physical shit, you know what I mean? Not consciously, right? But we're always manifesting. Now, what people don't understand is that if you're not consciously manifesting what you want, then you're unconsciously manifesting what you don't want. See the difference? But everybody's manifesting. It's called the perpetual transmutation of energy. If I actually coach people to stop saying manifesting and start saying a transmutation of energy. It's no different from an ice cube to water to steam to ether, or from an acorn to an oak tree to leaves and back to the dust again, right? It's a transmutation of energy that we're always doing, whether it's in our physical body, whether we're designing a skyscraper or a hotel, a relationship, whatever that is. So the challenge that I had, I think last week, I believe it was in construction, if I'm not mistaken. And quite honestly, I can't even remember because I don't hold on to that stuff. Now, back then, I think I do remember what it was, but at the moment, it was kind of a big thing. But then I immediately minimized it, right? So it came into play. It had to do with a client and a high profile multi-million-dollar client. And in our contract and a big delay none of us had the presence of mind to foresee. And I said, wow, this could really blow up in my face, you know. But then I immediately said, it is what it is. Let go and let God. What can I do to minimize it? It's not that big. What's the worst that could happen? Well, the worst thing that could happen is they could sue me and bankrupt my construction company. And the end of the day, that's not that big a deal. I have a dozen other revenue streams. And I don't say that with arrogance. But the reason I have a dozen of the revenue streams is for that very thing, is I don't have to worry about any one of them. So I instantly go to what's the worst that could happen. It's not that big a deal. It doesn't affect my health or my being or my family or anything like that, you know? And then it really just calms the mind. But then what happens is you just solve the problem. I immediately just went into calling the right people, figuring things out, emailing the client, throwing myself under the bus, you know, like they do in How to Win Friends and Influence People. And completely neutralize the situation. I threw myself under the bus so hard. I said, honestly, I have no excuses. I should have seen this coming. I really went into depth and lavishly threw myself under the bus, which was actually a lot of fun. And they came back around and said, it's not your fault. There was several other people involved. Honestly, you know, we had this permit in place long before you even came aboard. So now if I tried to if I tried to defend or point the fingers or blame somebody else, it would have caused confrontation because I'm the general contractor. I should have seen this. But right out of How to Win Friends and Influence People, if you're going to remove your ego, you know, the end result is I want the client to be happy. It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, but your ego right? Our egos would be the things like, no, I'm right, and here's why, and it's that person's fault, blah, blah, blah. So that's how I use the content that we teach to neutralize that situation and made it really, really small instead of really, really big.
That's fantastic. I was doing some training on the weekend with a very large school here in Jakarta, 4,000 students, 500 staff, and we had all the leaders there. We're talking about building the dream team and what sort of things we look for in people, and we really focused on values, you know, personal behaviors and interpersonal standards, things like that. And one of the things that we had to keep repeating through the day, as I would say, whose responsibility is it? And everyone would say, it's me. Because ultimately, everything comes down to us as leaders. It rises and falls on us. And one of the practices that we talked about was the mirror and the window. And so, you know, when things are going great, we look through the window and we lavish the praise on other people. And when things are going bad, we look in the mirror and it's all about us. It's absolutely about us. We take responsibility, we see what we can change, we take ownership, and then we move things forward with people. And the key thing that was the struggle was about empowerment. How do we empower people when we're mentoring them? Now, one of the things we can do, of course, to grow ourselves is to give, to be generous. So for people who haven't mentored someone else, who haven't been in that official relationship or even informally, how would you say that you start that mentoring relationship? Someone may come to us and want advice, want guidance, or we can see someone that we could really help go to that next level. How do we start that mentoring relationship to set it up on a platform which is going to be successful like you've got with your mentors?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. Coaching and mentorship for me organically happened. It was never a lifelong plan or decision. I mean, it became a decision, but it happened very quickly when I started working with Bob. I was a student first. I fell in love with the material, and it had such an impact on my life. It was almost overnight. I'm like, I need to be coaching, teaching, training this all over the world. I need to help get this out, especially at the millennial, at the younger age. But I think first people need to focus on their own success. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. I just mean, we need to become the higher versions of ourselves so we can help more people instead of maybe just one person. And I think when you focus on really becoming the highest version of yourself, what you do is you attract people that want to know how you did it. Right? So usually it's, you know, when somebody takes their income and they tenfold their income in a year or something like that, or if they were 100 pounds overweight and 12 months later, they're up on stage at a fitness show. They do something, they get some information, they put it, they show by their results that they know the information. That's what attracts people to want to ask you, how'd you do that? You know? And I think that's how the whole mentee-mentor relationship starts. And, you know, for me, it started as not a business, but just helping people. I help people, I love coaching and teaching and training in my network marketing company. And it just kind of naturally progressed into working with Bob. And so now we work with corporations and individuals all over the world. So. I think first we have to lead ourselves before we can lead anybody else. And that's the tip of the sword.
Mm, that's great. Hey, so tell us, if someone wants just to engage with you more, if someone wants to get into a really good community, how do you suggest they go about doing that?
Sure. There's a couple of ways. And we have, as you know, we have the Matrix Mindset Academy, which is kind of an entry level program to discover us, to learn more about us. And the easiest way to learn about that is to, you can actually text. You can text to the number 484848, and you can text MMA, right? So you text MMA to 484848, and what will come up as a landing page with a description of the Matrix Mindset Academy. And we have a 30-day free trial code, which is MMA30GIFT, all in caps. And what that is we allow people to come on to our closed group. It's a daily live coaching. We have sessions like this, but they're usually about 10 minutes long. And I'm just taking different pieces of content from the centuries of learning and the physics and the science behind wealth building as applied to human beings. And we're doing daily clip-its, and we usually have action items. So that's probably the best way to learn about us, because it's 30 days free. And from there, we have all kinds of ways to, do one-on-one coaching, or we have a whole team of people that just love the community, the Matrix Mindset Academy. So I would say that really depends on the level of where somebody's trying to get to. You know, we work with a lot of entrepreneurs that really want to get to some serious business models and global businesses and, you know, six, seven, eight-figure incomes. So we have a lot of different levels of coaching for a lot of different people.
Awesome. So what I'll do is I'll put the link to that offer, the 30 days test trial, and I'll drop that underneath the podcast and the notes with this, wherever it is. Brian, is there anything you want to leave as a thought before we close off today for people?
Probably the biggest thing that's I want to maybe recommend to people, especially if you're not versed or if you're confused or if you haven't really learned much about the universal principles and laws we're working with, is to have an open mind. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but what I mean by that is you don't have to believe these principles that we're talking about. Just don't not believe them. Be neutral, be open-minded, because what we're talking about are universal laws. Like when I say the transmutation of energy, talking about a universal law like gravity or electricity, like magnets, it's not my opinion. We are being affected by these universal laws. We grow the same way an oak tree does. We are subject to the same universal laws as the rest of nature, but we're not taught this stuff in school. So I would say the biggest thing is to be open-minded and come join us on the MMA, check it out, see if it resonates. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I think being open-minded and being hungry for information. I mean, I went about 15 years without studying anything. After high school and college and my pilot's license, I went till age 43 before I started to personally develop and study this stuff at a very high level. So I think, when somebody recommends a book, crack a book. Like, you know, the secrets of the ages are locked away in these books that we talk about. And I actually have a couple of good books right here. There's one of them I'm reading now called Your Invisible Power by Genevieve Baran. It's only a small book. Your Invisible Power. It talks about how to use your imagination, how to tap into universal consciousness and transmute energy into what you want. And again, I know that sounds very ethereal, but you got to remember my background is mechanical engineering, and it's really physics. It's physics and science. It's understanding the mind-body connection. So I would say the long-winded answer short is to be open-minded and continue to study.
That's awesome. So what I'm going to do is you've given us a lot of content, a lot of ideas from the life script to mentoring to mindset. What I'm going to do is type that up, put some bullet points, and I'll actually create a Google document and I'll add that into the notes as well that goes to the podcast and anywhere else we have this. And then the links also to jumping into the Matrix Mindset Academy, because that seems very, very powerful to get with a group of like-minded people to get some learning through an open mind and then some action items that people can put into place as well. So Brian, really want to thank you for giving us your time. You're getting ready for a whole week with your mentor to give us this time to share your wisdom, your understanding. And we just really are left with that thought that you are always growing yourself and working on yourself, which means that it's much better to tap into flowing water than stagnant, you know? And so you've got this flowing water of growth that we can learn from and drink from. So thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you as well, Craig. I appreciate you getting up super, super early and working with us and working this content together. I really appreciate you and have a great day and God bless. We'll see you soon.
You too. Have a great week.
See you, bud.
That's a wrap.
All right, everybody. So that was another episode of Your Infinite Mind. It's a podcast Craig and I are doing here. And with this 12 principles and lessons that we're working with, I think that was number 3. So if you enjoyed the podcast, we'll have links to that. I can put them on here. And hopefully you get a little bit of value out of that. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We'll see you guys soon. And God bless. Take care. Boom. Multimedia, baby.
Awesome. It's actually the secret genie.
Ah. Are we on listen? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They won't know.
No, they won't. I'll just label it. We'll be fine.
Good job, man.
Thank you. My mind was a little bit wandering there because I was thinking a little bit deeper while you were sharing those ideas. And so I stumbled over my words a little bit. It wasn't as clear for me today, I think, as it might have been. So sorry about that.
Oh, I didn't pick up on anything. Yeah, it's funny how we talk about that all the time, right? We talk about even when we're in something like this, you can check out and think about something else and then come back and then check out. Mine did too. You can't not do that. There's no way around it.
I was thinking about the guys that I was coaching on the weekend, running this full day about building their dream team. And I've been reading the 15 Principles of Success by Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. And so I've been thinking and talking about that. And I mentioned that at the end, and we talked about failure and got them to think about a failure from the past and actually take it off themselves, step back and look at it, mm-hmm. and try to find those seeds of success, you know, because the only thing we have control over is our own behavior. And saying to them, if you were to change your behavior, what would you change? How would you change it to get success in the future? Now imagine if you could do that for your team. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you could allow them to find those seeds. Because in the book it says that time keeps safe the seeds of success from defeat and failure. So those seeds of success are always there, whether it was last week or last year or 30 years ago. We can still look back at that situation and find those seeds of success. I was just thinking, I really want to tie that in somehow to what Brian's saying. Because
cool. I know you're trying to shift on the fly and speak, but
think. Walking and chewing gum.
Yeah, it happens to me too. Because when you're talking, it triggers me to want to respond, and then but at the end, then you ask a different question. So I go back. Yeah, so very dynamic. It was good.
Have you done your sales call, or are you going to do your sales call?
Oh, I have a few of them. Yeah, I have a few of them.
Okay.
I have our first really high ticket, either 30 or 60 grand call coming shortly at 7 o'clock. So put out some good mojo on that one.
Absolutely. Will do. Hey, thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you as well, brother. Good job.
I love doing this because I'm learning every time I do it.
Oh, me too. Me too. Yeah, it's good. It's very good. I love it.
I do, man. Go well.
You too, brother. God bless.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out what the hell do you want. Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.